Well, congregation, our scripture reading for this evening is found in the book of Hebrews, the Epistle to the Hebrews, and the fourth chapter. Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll read all of the chapter, but our focus this evening will be on the words you find at the end of the chapter in verses 14 through 16, which speak of our compassionate high priest. Well, let us hear God's own holy word. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. May God bless that reading of his own holy word. Well, congregation, if you open your Bibles once again to the passage of God's word that we read earlier, Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll read again the verses we're going to be looking at this evening, verses 14 through 16, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, and you'll see the title or subtitle of this section is Our Compassionate High Priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Congregation, brothers and sisters, Andrew Murray, a prolific Christian writer and preacher from the past, he once asked a godly woman who was full of the joy of the Lord what it was that had made the greatest difference in her Christian life, what it was that was the secret of the joy, the satisfaction, the security that she knew in her daily walk with the Lord. And in reply, she said these words, What made the greatest difference in my Christian life was when I discovered and realized for myself the personal friendship of Jesus. Well, I wonder, do you and I know the joy of that discovery for ourselves? What it is to go through life day by day with a conscious awareness that Jesus is an ever-present personal friend with whom we can share all of our joys and our sorrows, all of our daily struggles and difficulties in life, knowing that He not only knows of these things, but that He also feels for us and with us in all of them. And so we can freely come to Him, just like a little child in every time of need, with the confidence that He loves us and walks with us in and through the bad times as well as the good times. For you see, Jesus is a friend so faithful, as the hymn writer says, who knows our every weakness and all of our trials and temptations. And He has promised to bear all of our burdens and share all of our sorrows with us. And so we can go to Him with all of our sins and griefs, for it is our privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. For in His arms, He'll take and shield us, and we'll find a solace there. Well, that is the wonderful truth that our attention is drawn to in the verses we just read, that we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who ascended into heaven and who sympathizes with us in all of our weakness and our need. And so we are to come to Him with boldness that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And given that this is Ascension Day, I want to look then at these verses with you this evening in the hope that you will see what an amazing high priest we have, and that you will be encouraged to go on cultivating a personal relationship with Him. And so our theme then is Jesus, our ascended high priest. And we'll look firstly at Jesus as our great high priest. Then secondly at Jesus as our sympathetic high priest. And then lastly at Jesus as our merciful high priest. Well, firstly then, let us look at Jesus as our great high priest. That's how He's described in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4. And remember that the book of Hebrews is right. The author of the book of Hebrews is writing here to Jewish converts who are under great persecution from other unbelieving Jews. And they're being tempted to renounce their confession of faith in Jesus and their confidence in Him. And they're being tempted to revert back to Judaism and all of the worship and ritual that is associated with it. And so He's seeking to encourage these believers in these verses to understand, to take to heart who they are and what they now have in Jesus. Because you see, He wants them to have an understanding and an awareness of the infinite superiority of their great high priest to all of the other Jewish priests who were descended from the line of Aaron. For whatever they may have had to commend them, and however good they may even have been as men, they are not to be compared in any way, shape or form to Jesus. Because you see, if we have Him as our high priest, then we don't need any other human priest to represent us. Why? Because He is Jesus, the Son of God, who has now passed through the heavens into the very presence of God Himself. And you see, once a person grasps the significance of that fact, then they will be able to go on walking in the joy of their salvation and holding fast their confession in spite of the trials and difficulties they may be facing. And that's why the writer to the Hebrews begins here then by directing the minds of his readers to the one who is our great High Priest. And this title is only ever used to describe Jesus Christ, because you see, it's meant to set him apart from all of the Old Testament priests as being in a class all of his own. Because he is infinitely superior to them all, not only as to his person, but also as to his position. For Jesus, my friend, he's not just another high priest in the line of Aaron. We're talking here about the eternal Son of God in our nature, who, unlike them, no longer ministers in his office as high priest in the tabernacle or temple precincts, only entering into the Holy of Holies once a year, the place that represented the presence of God. No, our great High Priest has passed through the heavens, where he now ministers for us in the very throne room of heaven itself, in the immediate presence of God himself. Because you see, he is now sat down at the right hand of the Father in glory. We saw that last Sunday afternoon when we looked at Lord's Day 19. And while the Old Testament priesthood was earthly and temporary then, Jesus' priesthood, it is heavenly and it is eternal. Because it's the supreme fulfillment of all that the priesthood in the Old Testament was but a picture or a shadow of. For the imagery here of passing through the heavens is meant to bring to mind the annual Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, when you'll remember the high priest would pass through the court of the tabernacle, and then through the holy place. And then from there he passed through the veil into the Holy of Holies. And that was the place, you should remember, where the Shekinah glory was over the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, which symbolized the presence of the living God. And you'll remember also that the high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies once a year, but never without a blood offering. Because why was he entering in to the Holy of Holies? It was to make atonement or a covering for his own sins and the sins of all of the people of Israel by sprinkling blood that was brought from an animal upon the mercy seat on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. And you see, when that blood was offered, God's wrath, it was temporarily propitiating or turning away the sin of the high priest and the people. And you see, the problem was that the passage of the Jewish high priest into the Holy of Holies, it had to be repeated year after year after year. Because the one who entered in there was himself a sinner, and the blood of bulls and goats which he took in with him, it could never take away sin. And thus the work of every high priest in the Old Testament, it was nothing but a pale shadow of the true heavenly reality which would finally be fulfilled and was fulfilled in Jesus. Because you see, it could only point forward to the passage of our great High Priest, Jesus the Son of God, into heaven itself. And rather than offering another animal sacrifice
to God to make a temporary atonement for sin, as all the other high priests who had gone before him had done. Jesus offered himself in our nature as the one final and perfect sacrifice for our sins. And you see, it is on the basis of that perfect once-for-all sacrifice that he has now passed through the heavens and into the throne room of our God and Father in heaven. And there is now no need then for any other priesthood or atoning sacrifice for sin. Because Jesus' sacrifice, my friend, it is already achieved, a finish, and an altogether sufficient atonement for every sin. And that's why when Jesus entered into heaven to now appear in the presence of God for us, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Because in so doing, he was signifying, as we've seen again on Sunday afternoon, that his sacrifice for sin was perfect. It was complete. And it had now been fully accepted by God. And that's what these Hebrew believers needed to be reminded of. It's what every believer needs to be reminded of over and over again. That our high priest is not just any high priest, but he's our great high priest who loves his people and who has given himself for them to make them his own. And you see, because of who he is then, as Jesus the Son of God, or the God-man Redeemer, and because of his position that he now occupies in heaven, he is able and he is willing to perfectly represent them and all of their needs before God. So even though these Hebrew Christians may well have been feeling overwhelmed by the persecution they were enduring, and they were tempted to throw in the towel and call it a day, they were to go on holding fast to their confession. But you see, they needed to understand and remember, as every Christian does, that not only do we have a great high priest, we also have a high priest who can sympathize with us and all of our weaknesses, because he himself was tempted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. And that brings us then in the second place to look at Jesus as our sympathetic high priest. You know, sometimes we can think to ourselves, if Jesus is the eternal, sinless Son of God who is now in heaven, then can he really understand what we're going through here on earth? Well, that's the very question that verse 15 is specifically designed to answer. You see, the word here for sympathize, it means to feel along or to have a fellow feeling with someone. And our sympathetic high priest may well be the eternal and sinless Son of God. But never forget, he is also Jesus, the Son of God. He is God and man in one person forever. And that means, child of God, that the Lord you serve and the sinner you, the Savior that you are looking to, he's not aloof from your trials and your difficulties. He feels them deeply. The Bible says, in all our afflictions, he is afflicted. And he's not sitting in heaven then, disinterested or detached from what you're going through. Not at all. My friend, he came to this earth. And he took our human nature. Precisely so that he might now be able to have a fellow feeling with us. And that's the kind of high priest we desperately need. We want someone who can sympathize with us when we feel lonely or rejected or cast down in our spirits because of health problems or our struggles or whatever else. And we need someone who will share our feelings and come alongside of us to support us and encourage us, because they know what we are going through, because they themselves have been where we now are. And you see, that is exactly the kind of high priest that we do have, because Jesus has endured all the kinds of things that we go through, and many, many more besides. And that means he does know, and he perfectly understands all of our weaknesses and our frailties, all of our pains and our sorrows. And my friend, he's more than capable of ministering to us and feeling with us then, in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Makes me think, boys and girls, about a man I read of who put up a sign in his front yard that read, "Puppies for sale." A little boy from the neighborhood was walking along the street and he noticed the sign, and so he asked the man. He said, "How much do you want for the puppies, sir?" And the man said, $25, son." When the little boy heard that, his face dropped, and he said, "But sir, I've only got $2.05. Would you let me see them anyway?" And the man replied, "Sure, son, maybe we can work something out." And then the man turned and he whistled, and the mother dog, she came running around the corner, followed by her four cute little puppies. They were wagging their tails and they were all yipping away happily. But then lagging behind another puppy came slowly round the corner, dragging one of its hind legs. When the little boy saw it, he asked the man, he said, "What's the matter with that one, sir?" "Well, son," he said, "that puppy is crippled. The vet took an X-ray and found it doesn't have a hip socket. He said it's never going to be right. It's always going to have a limp." But then the little boy said, with a big smile on his face, he said, "That's the one I want, sir. Could I pay you a little each week?" And the man was surprised, and he replied, he said, But son, you don't seem to understand. That pup will never be able to run or play or even walk right. He's going to be a cripple forever. Why would you want a pup like that?" And then the little boy smiled and he reached down and he began rolling up one leg of his trousers, revealing a steel brace that was running down both sides of his leg and attached to a specially made shoe. And then looking up at the man, he said, "You see, sir, I don't walk too good either." And then he looked down at that little puppy and he said, "That puppy is going to need a lot of love and someone who can understand him to help him in life, because it's not easy being crippled." And the man said to him, I tell you what, son, you can have that puppy for free, because I know you'll give him a good home and you'll show him the love that he needs and you'll take good care of him." Well, that is a limited illustration of our Savior's sympathy for our condition. For you see, because he became a man and suffered all that we experience, he can now sympathize with our weaknesses. And he demonstrated his care and compassion for people many times during his earthly ministry. And my friend, his humanity It hasn't been diminished in any way by the fact that he has ascended into heaven. Not at all. For even though he may well be in heaven, he is still united to his humanity. And so we still have a completely sympathetic high priest at the right hand of God. And that means, my dear friend, that however crippled and disfigured by sin you may be, there is an ascended high priest who understands you and who is genuinely concerned for you. But you see, he was tempted or tested in all points as we are, yet without sin. And that means that nothing was left out of our Savior's temptation, For he was tested in exactly the same way as we are. In fact, he had to be, so that he could now sympathize with us. And yes, of course that doesn't mean that Jesus experienced every conceivable temptation possible, or that he was ever tempted even by indwelling sin, as we are. But it does mean that he was thoroughly acquainted with every type of temptation. And you might well ask then, well, if he was never tempted by sin from within, well then how could his temptations be real? Well, they were real. Because you see, Jesus had to meet every temptation to sin from without in exactly the same way that we must. Because, my friend, Jesus never once overcame temptation by falling back on his own divine power as the Son of God. But he met each and every kind of temptation he faced in his human nature by relying wholly upon the power of the Father and the Holy Spirit to empower him from within to resist them and overcome them. And you see, just like us, in his humanity then, he was cast upon the care of his Father from the womb itself all the way through life until he had finally completed the work that the Father had given him to do here on earth. And we may not be able to fully comprehend these things, but we don't need to live in the joy of knowing that our great high priest is fully capable of sympathizing with us. You see, however much we might think that someone who has been tempted from within and has sinned in the same way as we have could relate more to our failures, that is simply not the case. As Charles Spurgeon has pointed out in his sermon in these verses entitled The Tenderness of Jesus, he says, "Do not imagine that if the Lord Jesus had sinned, he would have been any more tender toward you. For sin is always of a hardening nature. And if the Christ of God could have sinned, therefore, he would have lost the perfection of his sympathetic nature. For he says it needs perfectness of heart to lay self all aside and to be touched with a feeling of the infirmities of others." And how thankful you and I ought to be then that we do have a sympathetic high priest who, even though he was tempted in all points as we are, yet never once did he actually succumb to any temptation by falling into sin. Because you see, my friend, he had to remain without sin in life if ever he was to ascend into heaven to represent us before the throne of God. And why is that? Because only a perfectly righteous high priest can grant us access to the Father by unlocking the door to all of the rich blessings of His mercy and His grace. And it's for that very reason then that we can now come with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's the amazing thing, that these verses are reminding us that's what we're now called to do. Because you see, not only is our high priest a great and a sympathetic high priest, He is also a merciful high priest. And that brings us then in the last place to look at Jesus as our merciful high priest. You see, because Jesus is our sinless high priest who identifies with us in our humanity and who understands us perfectly, every child of God now enjoys the inestimable privilege of being able to draw near to God continually with boldness through Him. And what a phenomenal blessing that is. And it's one that sadly we often neglect to avail ourselves of, because at times we feel so unworthy to come to God because of our consciousness of our sin. And yet, as verse 16 says, let us come boldly or confidently to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because you see, that is the very place where God now calls sinners to meet with Him on account of the finished work of our merciful high priest. And yes, it may well be a throne of divine majesty and glory to which we are called to come. But it is also a throne of grace, where it's the place where our merciful high priest now dwells at the right hand of God Himself. And you see, it is therefore the true heavenly mercy seat in the dwelling place of God, where the blood which cleanses from all sin has been offered once and for all for our sin. And that means that the way back to God, it's now wide open to even the very worst of sinners. And you see, if we will but come to God through our merciful high priest, the Lord Jesus, then we never need fear that He won't hear us or accept us, or that we will ever be turned away. Because you see, we always have access to God now, because that access has been secured for us by Jesus, the Son of God. Reminds me of a dejected Confederate soldier at the end of the American Civil War. He was sitting outside the grounds of the White House. A young boy approached him and asked him why he was looking so sad. The soldier went on to tell him how he'd repeatedly tried to see the president, Abraham Lincoln, because he wanted to tell the president that his farm in the South had been unfairly taken away by the federal soldiers. But every time he tried to enter the White House, the guards crossed their bayoneted guns in front of the door and they turned him away. Well, after hearing that, the boy motioned to that soldier to follow him. And he did so. And when they both approached the guarded entrance, the soldiers came to attention. They stepped back and then they opened the door for the young boy. And he made his way down the hall to the library with this man where the president was resting. And he introduced the soldier to his father, Abraham Lincoln. You see, that boy was Tad Lincoln. And because he was the president's son, That dejected soldier was able to gain access to the president and to have his problem solved. And my dear friend, if that dejected soldier was able to gain access to the president of the United States through his son, how much more should we be encouraged to make use of a throne of grace to come to our Heavenly Father? Because He Himself is the one who now tells us to come with confidence to Him. And He is assuring us that we will be favorably received because of His Son Jesus, our great High Priest. And my dear friend, if we could but grasp the beauty and the amazing privilege that belongs to all of the people of God, we would discover for ourselves just how merciful God is. And we would find grace to help in every time of need. And what better place to go then to obtain mercy and find help when we are feeling lonely or frustrated perhaps, or weighed down by sin or the cares and concerns of life? What better place to go with all of these things than to a throne of grace? Because you see, we can speak freely and with total openness and frankness to God there about anything and everything, however great or small it may be. And our merciful High Priest, He is just waiting to present our prayers to God on our behalf so that they would be heard. And that's what's so amazing about our Savior. Though He is the eternal Son of God, He now looks on us with all of our faults, with a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy. And God is ready, my friend. He's willing to forgive our sins, all of our sins, and restore our souls for His sake. And will you not come then to God through your merciful High Priest with all your sins, whatever they may be, that you may obtain mercy and pardon, not because you deserve it, but because God has promised to show mercy to you when you do so. For mercy, my friend, by definition, is undeserved, but it is freely given because of Christ. And will you not come to God with all your troubles, all your burdens and your cares, whatever they may be, that you may find grace to help in time of need? For prayer in the name of Jesus, our merciful High Priest, it's our supply line to God Himself for the grace we need day by day to sustain us and keep us. Because never forget, this is a throne. It's the throne of Almighty God. And that means it's also a place of power and authority from which God sends out fresh supplies of grace through Christ by His Spirit at the exact time when we need it and when we call upon Him for it. Well, brothers and sisters, we have a great High Priest in heaven then who is sympathetic and merciful and who will never ever let us down. So what the writer is saying to the Hebrews, God is saying to us this evening, let us hold fast our own confession. And let us see to it that we make use of Him as He ever lives to make intercession for us at a throne of grace. For you see, if we do so, just like that woman we spoke of at the beginning, we will know by blessed experience the things that we have been speaking of here. For just like her, we will discover for ourselves the personal friendship of Jesus, the Son of God, our ascended High Priest. Amen.
Let us now pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you. We thank you that you are our great ascended High Priest, our sympathetic and our merciful High Priest at the right hand of God the Father. And we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to enable us to see what an amazing and wonderful privilege it is to know you as our High Priest, the one who now appears in the presence of God for us, the one who has dealt with our sin and who now extends to us the arm of mercy and love. And we pray then, Lord, that we would be making use of you day by day, that we would be coming to God through you at a throne of grace, that we would be coming when we are conscious of our sin, that we have sinned and come far short of the glory of God, that we would come that we may obtain mercy for our sin, that we would come when we are very conscious of our needs day by day, the needs of our bodies, the needs of our souls, and the needs of our loved ones and others around us, that we would learn to bring all of these things to you with confidence in the belief that we are heard because of you and your finished work. And we pray then, Lord, that you would increase our faith, that you would keep us from an evil heart of unbelief that would cause us to stumble and stray from you. Keep us close to you, we ask. Help us to know you as our ever faithful friend, a friend who sticks closer than any brother, a friend who loves at all times, who will never leave us or forsake us, but who is bound to us in a covenant of peace to care for us and provide for us and be our God and guide even unto death. We pray then, Lord, that you would be with us in the rest of this week. You would keep us in all things, uphold us and strengthen us in our journey through life. And we pray that you would help us to commit our way to you each and every day and moment by moment, that we would discover in all of the challenges of life that your grace is truly sufficient for us. Bless us and keep us. Bless your word this evening, we pray. Apply it as only you can. And hear us now, we ask, for we pray it all in your own name and for your sake. Amen.